We are in the second installment of our study of the book of Joshua. I've entitled the whole thing, Possessing Spiritual Ground. And it's a lot of ways a chronicling of God taking his people into the promised land that he's giving them. And there's all the things that go with it. The way we read this book, though, we're not reading this like, oh, there's some cool old stories that some people did, and that's, you know, that's nice. We're looking at this as these are God's people. There are principles that God wanted them to live by. And these principles are the same principles he wants us to live by. We can pull the application out of what goes on with the Israelites and apply it to our lives in ways that are very important. God has the same stuff for us that he had for them. And that's what this book is about in a lot of ways. It's showing us how to really follow along to those places that God wants to take us. God has spiritual ground he wants you to possess. And in the other way, you can say that there's spiritual ground you need to cover. We all need to cover. God wants to take us through that. And today what we're going to see is God's people preparing to take the land that they've been promised. The other thing we're going to see is about commitment. And the commitment to be physically present. The commitment to be together as we do things. And the church body, God's people, we are supposed to be together. And some things you can think about is maybe you're not where you want to be in your spiritual growth. And part of that reason is that you haven't committed to be physically present with other people and walk through the challenges that they have with them as they help you walk through the challenges that you have in your life. Being physically present with people is a big deal. And in this day and age, that's the kind of thing that's under attack right now. And I want to just encourage everybody to think about what it means if you're part of the body of Christ to be physically where the body is gathering. You know, what could be holding you back is that you have not really gone in wholeheartedly with your brothers and sisters. There is no such thing as loner Christianity. It was never in the Bible. It's always a gathering, a body. And I learned early on in my walk that one of the hugest parts of my discipleship was simply showing up. Going to all the things that I was invited to and asked to come to and stuff, and I had opportunities for pastors to mentor me and such, and I took advantage of that. I mean, prior to coming to Christ, I have to be honest with you, I was pretty laissez-faire about going to church. Like, yeah, maybe, okay. I could come up with all kinds of excuses. Before God indwelt me with his spirit, I was cool to not be at church. I was cool to not go to Bible study. It was like, if I was into it, sure. If it was convenient, sure. But it's a different thing. God has made us as his people, and we're drawn together by his spirit. We're supposed to be physically in one place as often as possible. All the body metaphors you see in the New Testament. You can't have a body that has pieces in different places. We're meant to be together. And God's word teaches this, that our bodies, this body life is to be done together, connected, not only through like media and things like that, but physically here with each other. And I mean, the question is, can you be part of a body if you're not ever physically in the same place as all the other members of the body? The answer is no. And you're possessing the spiritual ground that God wants you to cover. It's tied to community. We're going to see this in this passage today, that our fates are intertwined. God has brought us together for reasons to do things together. We can't ignore that. I mean, we can see ourselves as individuals, but we've got to also get this vision for being a body. That we are one. We're meant to be one. And I think that really probably about 90% of good discipleship is simply showing up and putting in the time and saying, I'm going to be there. And one of the devil's favorite tricks is to convince you to not show up. Give you good reasons to maybe do something else, or I got this going on, or I got that going on. And so I want you to consider that as we look at what's going on with the Israelites this morning as they prepare to go into the promised land. So as we pick it up here, the people of Israel, Joshua has just been commanded. You are going to lead these people into the promised land. You're going to go take the land that God has given you. There's three tribes that have already been given land on the east side of the Jordan River. And those three tribes are going to be asked, commanded, called on account to come and lead their other fellow brothers and sisters into the land, to go with them physically, right? And for them, it means they're going to have to leave the land that they've been given. They're going to leave their wives and their livestock, and they're going to go with their brothers, and they're going to be physically present with their brothers. They're not going to be, hey, you guys, I'm with you in spirit, man. Go get them. That doesn't cut it. It's their promised land. They've been given their promised land. They're going to help their brothers and sisters take their promised land. So we're going to see clear lessons today about following God's leadership and the appointed leadership that he's given, because the people are going to rally behind Joshua. We're going to see that lesson about being physically present with your tribe, your people, your group, your body, whatever you want to call it. We're going to see about how our eternities are tied together, that when God puts you into a body, what he's doing is intertwining you with other people's eternal purposes. And there's things for us to do together that are going to impact eternity if we're together. Because we're brothers and sisters by God's Spirit. We're meant to stick together. Now, there's some big themes in Joshua that we want to continually keep in our mind as we read these passages. Our obedience can fuel the miraculous. And we're not going to see that happen today, but in a couple of editions, we're going to see some pretty crazy miraculous stuff. But the obedience that leads up to it is a big part of it. We're going to see the taking possession of what God promises us, that we're supposed to do it. God has places he wants you to go. We need to find out what these places are. We're going to learn about trusting God's sovereignty and how that enables us to be strong and courageous. Last week in the passage, three times Joshua was told to be strong and courageous. We are being called to be strong and courageous. We do that through God's strength because we trust him. And we're going to exercise faith. We're going to see faith exercised through action. Faith is active. We're going to see how our disobedience can lead to disaster. There's going to be some places in this book where we're going to see Joshua and the people be disobedient. We're going to see the disasters that come. We're going to find out that leadership matters not only to the leaders, but to the followers. What's it mean to be a good follower? Have you thought about that? Everybody wants to be a good leader, but have you thought about being a good follower? And that God always fulfills his promises. Big theme of this book. We're going to see that all over the place. So last week, the last thing that God says to Joshua is, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And we can take that to heart, because wherever we go, the Lord's with us. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't had to take over land full of a bunch of hostile people in my life. Has anybody had to do that? I'm really glad to see no hands go up on that one, actually. But we've got things that God's calling us to do that are scary a little bit. And we can be afraid and or discouraged. But again, I've said this a lot, and I just want to speak from my heart on this, guys. If you know the Lord, you've got nothing to be afraid of. And in this world that is pushing fear all over the place, we can rest assured that this world can't do anything to us. The one who owns our eternal soul is the one who's in charge of our eternity. And whatever happens here, it doesn't matter, because we've got eternity. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be discouraged. And I'm like you. I'm out there. I'm fighting it, man. This stuff is coming at me. I'm fighting a lot more discouragement than fear. But it's just like, we can do it. And we don't have to live like the rest of this world does. We can live in this way, strong and courageous, following the Lord. So let's pray as we look at this second lesson here, which is called the unity of physical presence. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together. We thank you that you have made a body here to be your hands and feet in Midtown Atlanta. Help us to recognize how important it is for us to be together. And as Greg said earlier, Lord, we've got to make sacrifices sometimes to do that. It costs us something to be together. But we know that your purposes and your will and your glory is achieved through our unity. And that means being together in person. And so, God, help us to understand how important that is today through this text. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we're in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 10 through 18 this morning. Again, the unity of physical presence. We talk about being unified in belief and in spirit and all those things, but here, right now, physical is just as important. Joshua 1:10 starts, "Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, 'Go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land your God is giving you.'" So last week we saw the torch pass from Moses to Joshua. The marching orders are given to Joshua. Joshua is now relaying them to the people. Time to get ready. 3 days till go time. And then we're going. And I mean, think about being in that camp where you're across the Jordan River. You've heard these reports of the people over there. And Joshua, his lieutenants come around and say, 3 days, we're headed out. And he's like, got to get ourselves together. Trying to prepare to go where God calls us to is important stuff. We don't just go willy-nilly into various things. We prepare. The Word of God prepares us. Prayer prepares us. Fellowship prepares us. All of those things are going to prepare us to take the land that God is calling us to possess, just like they needed to get ready to take the land that God was taking them to possess. But you know, at the end here, it says, take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. In reality, there is no spiritual ground that you take on your own. God takes you there. God gives it to you. Your willingness to accept the challenge to go ahead and prepare to go there is what your part is. But you're not going to cover any spiritual ground without God taking you there. And that's this thing that is what we call discipleship. We learn how to follow God, and He teaches us. Jesus Christ is our teacher as He shows us how we are to live. Verse 12. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. So he's reminding them about what they had agreed to back in Deuteronomy chapter 3. And the deal was that we were all going to take this land on the east side of the Jordan, and then Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh were going to get this land. And then after that happened, they were going to help everybody else take the rest of this land. If you go to Deuteronomy 3, you can see this whole thing rewound. And Joshua just reminds them of it as it goes on in verse 14. So he says, you know, God's given you your place, but now your wives, children, and livestock may remain here in this land Moses has assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River. But your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. So your families and herds can stay here, but we need you physically to go with your brothers. And you've agreed to physically go with your brothers. And they're actually going to be the vanguard of the attack. If you understand how things work, there's always an attack. There's a group in the front they call the vanguard. They don't have the encumberment of their wives, their children, and their flocks. So these guys from Gad, Manasseh, and Reuben, they're going to lead the charge. And then the rest of them are going to come along behind. They have to worry about the rest of their stuff, so they'll be behind them. So it's pretty interesting. But the bottom line is they helped you get your land. Now it's time for you to help them get their land. And this is our life together as a body, is there's things that you're going to accomplish spiritually that your brothers and sisters are going to help you with, and then you're going to reciprocate by helping them cover spiritual ground, so to speak. This is this interwoven thing that happens with the body, that all the parts are helping each other. You know, the bile duct is working along with the pancreas, which is working along with your liver. To do what? I'm not sure, but I know they're working together. Right? I'm not the guy to talk about physiology at all. But, you know, I'm a guy who knows enough about how all of this is connected. Because I've got a bad back, and when my back's hurting, everything's hurting. And when my back's good, everything's good. And this is how we are to be as a body. We're supposed to be connected in ways that it matters if something is good or bad with somebody else with us. It's a different philosophy than the rest of this world really takes on. You look around you and talk to people who aren't followers of Christ, they're not focused on tying their wagons to a whole bunch of other people. Mostly they're focused on figuring how they can create their own interdependence so they don't have to worry about anybody else, right? That's what this world's telling us to do. Take care of all your stuff. Get your stuff all set up. Be self-sufficient. It's not the gospel. The gospel is this thing about let's all just depend on the Lord as we depend on each other. And that's what makes a real body. Verse 15. So you're going to have to go do this and you're going to be in the vanguard. And then he says at the end, of course, stay with them until the Lord gives them rest. The rest is the accomplishment of taking that spiritual ground, possessing that land. It says, stay with them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has given you rest, the rest of having your territory, your place. And until they, too, possess the land the Lord, your God, is giving them. So the deal is, again, you've got your stuff. Can you hang in there with the other people while they're getting their stuff, i.e. the spiritual stuff that God is making happen in their life? And he says, only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, has assigned to you. So you can't leave until the job is done. And this is, again, this is a principle for us living together as a family, as a church body, is that, you know, sometimes we have the propensity to be like, okay, you good? You all good? Okay, see ya. And sometimes the other person's go, bah, 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 and they're not good. they're not done getting done what they need to get done. And we've got to take that extra minute to sit with our brothers and sisters and be sure that they've accomplished what they need to accomplish before we do any kind of moving on. You know, once our brothers and sisters have covered the ground they need to, then maybe we can again attend to our own needs. But this is an ongoing thing. We help each other back and forth. And I was talking to someone about this the other day, part about really being a mature disciple of Christ is not only being a good giver, but it's being a good receiver. We all have to learn how to be humbled and be able to receive things from other people when we need them. You know, it's a thing where we, again, our self-sufficiency is we like to think that we've got ourselves together and act together. And yeah, I want to give and I want to help people, but you want to help me? No, I'm good. And we see this in people and in our world. And I want to say that we should be different as Jesus' people. We should be able to go, okay, yeah, I guess I do need some help. And it's a little shock to your pride sometimes that you couldn't take care of everything. But the other thing it is that you're actually helping that other person receive a blessing. Because by receiving as they give, they're going to be blessed because they get to do that giving. The church that I came from, sometimes when they would offer you something, you say, no, I don't do that. The catchphrase was, don't you steal my blessing. Don't you take my blessing. You let me give that to you. But think about that. That's part of what we are supposed to be as a family. Families give and take. Sometimes somebody's up, sometimes somebody's down, but we're in this together. So don't go until the job is done. But it is a job of physical presence. It wasn't a job of, yeah, we're with you there. We're going to send you a check or we're going to send some livestock over to you. It's like, no, we're going to be there and physically inhabit the space that you are in until you don't need us anymore. Verse 16. So these leaders of these tribes, or if it was the whole tribe, I don't know if they could all speak in unison, but the leaders then answered Joshua. They said, we will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. Now, as a leader, there's nothing more you want to hear than that. Right? It doesn't happen all the time. You know, there's instances where people are like, oh, no, I know what I'm doing. You know, you don't have, I know what I'm doing. We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. And we will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. Now, we're going to see that that's not the most consistent obedience that ever was, and, you know, people are people. But they're going to give it their best shot, right? And they send at the end here, may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. I mean, that's a great, like, here's a little bit of encouragement for you. May your God be with you the same way he was with Moses, and he was with Moses in everything whenever he needed him. It's absolute submission to Joshua here, but it's because of God. It's not really a submission to Joshua. It's a submission to the Lord and his appointed leader. And God appointed Moses, and the people said, okay, we'll obey you. God has now appointed Joshua. They say, we will obey you. We are all given leaders that we can choose to either follow or not follow. And they're praying that God is with Joshua as he leads them. They're praying for their leader to be successful. It's a great gift that anybody in Christian leadership has when people are praying for him, praying for them. It's a big deal. And it's the Lord, his God. He says, they say, the Lord, your God. There's a personal aspect to it that's relayed. Verse 18, the end of the passage. This is what they tag on the end, by the way. They say, we're going to obey you no matter what. Oh, no, and by the way, anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. Oh, we're not screwing around here, right? So we're totally behind you, and we got your back up to the point of taking people out if we need to. So you be strong and courageous, just as God asked you to be, just as God commanded you to be. We're here giving you the same encouragement. And I love it. It's not, you know, I'm not just going to obey you, Joshua. I'm going to kill anybody who messes with you. I'm not encouraging that, by the way. I don't need that kind of backup necessarily. At some point I might, and if I do, I know who to call. But you know, leaders need people to follow them. For leaders to execute what God has called them to do, the people who they are leading need to submit to God's authority and follow. You know, when people respect the authority that God has placed them under, God is glorified. Leaders do well. Followers grow. Again, I said before, we all need to be good followers before we're going to be good leaders. And this is something I learned coming up, because I was not a good follower when I came into the ministry. And I had to have some of that knocked out of me because I thought I was the guy who was supposed to lead everything. But God showed me very clearly, you're not leading anything until you show me you can follow. And that's part of the development. That's part of the maturation process. We become good followers, and in that, we find out what it means to be a good leader. There's a lot of principles that are involved together there. So in summary of today's passage, a couple of statements for you. You, and I mean Christians, because I'm not talking to people who aren't in that place with God, you may need to prepare in order to possess new spiritual ground by following the leaders God has placed you under. This, again, we don't understand that we're preparing for the next stages in our life, and God is putting people into your life to help you do that. Are you taking advantage of those things? These guys follow Joshua. Are you following the leaders that God has given you? Next one. Well, excuse me, the second half of that. Go back, sorry. All spiritual growth is God-given, and your job is to make the most of what he gives you. Again, this process of discipleship, we're following God's lead in it. And we come alongside when he shows us this is the next step you need to take. This is the next step you need to take. But ultimately, he's the one who does the growth. What is it Paul said? Paul planted Apollos waters, but God provides the actual growth. So we got to look to him to take the places, possess the land that he's calling us to. The next one. Life as part of God's people involves sacrifice. And a large part of that is showing up for others and being with people. And this is the challenge. I'm going to ask you to sacrifice your me time to help others, to be with others, to be there physically present for others. That's what God's calling us to do as a body. And you're not a functioning part of the body of Christ if you're not physically present when they gather. You can say you are, but you're not really. And all of us, this is a challenge. One of my early pastors that I was under, Barbie and I were talking about this the other day. This guy was always vehement about, you need to be here on Sunday. You need to be here on Sunday. And as a young believer, I was kind of like, yeah, I get that. But now I understand it so much more because there's so much at stake right now in our world. The body of Christ is being weakened, and it's being weakened by isolation. It's being weakened because we're not together physically. And we can be different than that. And we can come together and be physically present. Next one. Our spiritual destinies are tied together by the spirit Christ puts in his followers. That means we stay together in hard times and we receive what God has for us together in person. Again, this is a call to really see yourself as part of an organism, not just a lone ranger doing their own thing with Jesus. And last but not least, God places us under spiritual leadership, and he expects us to honor that leadership. We are to be united behind and be protected of the leaders God puts us under. This glorifies God. Now, this might sound kind of self-serving as I stand up here as a leader and say, you guys all need to rally behind me. I get that. But it's the bigger picture of that. There's other leadership in this church, and there's this whole idea of, do you really understand where God has put you, and are you doing what you can? Are you growing where you've been planted? Because if you're here today, some of you are new, but if you're here and a member, so this is where you've been planted. Figure out how to grow. Part of that growth is really coming under the leadership that God's giving you and leveraging it. Man, I'm here, and we've got people in this church who would just want to build into you. Take advantage of it. So some application questions for you to go ahead and see if you can turn this into a little more practical stuff in your life. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, these messages are up on the website, midtownchurchatl.com. And you can see all my notes, and there's going to be a sound recording of this coming back up. So if you want to be reminded of it, you can check it out or recommend it to others. So application-wise, are you ready to cover some new spiritual ground? How would you figure that out? How would you determine that you're ready to cover new spiritual ground? Do you have a process? You kind of go through a checklist and say, okay, what have my mentor said? What is the word of the Lord said? What are the circumstances? Have you looked at it like that? Think about it. Your development, God's got a development plan for you. You just need to kind of get the text. You need to figure out what that plan is. But do you need to prepare? Are you ready to go somewhere new? Do you need to figure out how to prepare? How's all that working right now for you in your life today as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Next, as a member of this church body, what can you give to others with your physical presence and care? And I want to tell you, you can give something to others with your physical presence and care. What I want you to do is imagine what that might look like. I'm here to tell you that your physical presence will provide care and will be a gift to others. I want to encourage you to think about, when you think about coming to church on Sunday morning, don't think about what you're going to get. Think about what you're going to give. And I want you to know this too. Every time you come to a gathering like this, there may be some eternal thing that God wants to do. And he just wanted to get you here to do it in somebody's life. But if you decide that playing tennis on Sunday morning is more important, guess what? It's not going to happen. Greg made a wonderful point the other day. All of our actions, we think we're controlling things. We think we're, you know, in charge of what we're doing. The truth is we have very, very little control in this world. But the thing we have zero control of is the consequences of our actions. The consequences of your being not present in the body, I can't tell you what they are, but they are some. There will be consequences. You don't know those. I hope you don't have to face those. I hope you make the decision instead to be more present and more active so that you don't ever have to see what happens. That dysfunction that becomes the Christians who are not part of the body. And I've seen them. There's a lot of people floating around out there. They're not going to church anywhere. They're not functional followers of Jesus Christ. Next one. Are you convinced that God desires each of us to be in regular physical contact with the rest of the church body he has placed us in? Are you convicted of this? And if not, I'd love to hear your reasons why, and I'd love to help you understand what the Bible teaches. And if so, if you are convinced that God wants us to be together physically, how consistent are you about showing up? Do you make these times a priority in your life? Or is this something that gets on the schedule when there's nothing else to do? And again, what I would also encourage you to do, if you're in this place where you're trying to be here every time that you're in town, I want you to share that conviction with some of the other people that you know. I want you to kind of propagate the idea of being physically present. And there's people who are kind of in the fringes of our body who are not sure about whether they're here regular or not and everything. I want you to think about reaching out to some of those people and saying, hey, we need you here. You know, we need them and they need us. We need each other. And think about how consistent you're being with your showing up and if you're going to change that. And then last but not least, how well do you support the leadership of the body that God has placed you in? And how might you do a better job of that? And I challenge you to think specifically, you know. You can say, yeah, I want to do a better job of supporting leadership and then just walk. What is that going to do? Make a plan. Think of something that you can do. And think about that being something that is on your plate week after week. How do I support the leadership of this church? How do I be a good follower so that the leaders can be better leaders? That's how it works. So the challenge ultimately, show up for each other, for this body, for the Lord. I mean, if nothing else, if you're not committed enough to the people here, show up for Jesus Christ and be that physical presence that God can use. So we're going to continue on in our worship this morning with our time of communion. And we're going to do a little something different this morning that I'd like to try. And that is we're going to practice this idea of physical presence a little bit. So what I'd like you to do is you take some time, have your kind of time with the Lord. But as you come up to take the elements, look around. And what I'd like everybody to do is gather in small groups of three or four or five in the various places and take the communion together in close physical proximity together. And kind of just feel that what it's like to be right next to some people as you're worshiping the Lord and as you're understanding this need we have for each other to be here together physically. Christ died for us as a body. He didn't die for a bunch of lone rangers. He died to create his body, this communal organism that lives and breathes and worships together. And so as we commemorate that incredible sacrifice that brought us into the body, let's be together, physically present as his body. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the sacrifices that you have made, Lord, to give us eternity. Help us to be mindful of the sacrifices we need to make for our brothers and sisters in this body, and that we need to make for our brothers and sisters around the world in the church universal. And Lord, might we just sacrifice ourselves in ways that allow us to be with other people, that we would focus on being physically present in the lives of our brothers and sisters, and that you'd be glorified in that, and you'd show yourself in that, and people would believe that you are the Christ because of that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.